If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, a cancelled Cape Town Marathon survivor. I just had to start with that because that was a big thing that happened to me this weekend. But I survived. I'm still alive, so nothing to worry about. Onwards and upwards. I had to just figure out what to do with all this fitness that is left. So yes, already signed up for the next marathon. So yes, I will not stop about talking about running, unfortunately. But of course, as always, here we talk about parenting. And yes, parenting is not always the easiest thing. And there's a lot of preparation that needs to go into parenting. And I think that's partially for me what the show is about, is I really want to help make parents feel confident and prepared and supported through all the various like parts of this journey of parenting. I've said it many times before that parenting is a long game. And sometimes we do get stuck a little bit in the phase that we're in, which is, I feel, also allowed. And then, like me, being disappointed a little bit about the Cape Town Marathon. Those are appropriate feelings considering the situation. But yes, today specifically, we are actually talking about something I feel that every parent needs and needs to think about a little bit. A well-stocked first aid and medicine cabinet with appropriate things. And I mean, I you must have noticed that I'm a very like planned person. I'm a very relatively organized, but I'm very organized. I feel like that's my calling in life as admin. Anyway, I really am very organized. I'm a logistical mastermind when it comes to preparing and planning and all those type of things. And I'm relatively good with this. So I'm also, when traveling and taking things with, I'm pretty good at knowing what we need and having like things readily available. I'm also really good with checking expiry dates and stuff like that, I have to say. So every now and then, like, this giant bag of medicine gets thrown out of my medicine cabinet, and then I have to stock it up. But, you know, from bumps and bruises to unexpected tummy upsets to like skin reactions, knowing what you have on hand can make a huge difference when you're a parent. And it's not always easy, especially if you're a first-time parent. So my special guest today is a pharmacist, and she's also the founder of Medisonitas, and she's also a mom. So like tick, 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 I feel. Lizanne Archer, thank you, Lizanne, for joining me today.
Thank you, Yolandi. It's so nice to be here and do this with you. Like you said, tick, tick, tick. It didn't happen at once. So I was first a pharmacist, and then I founded Medisonitas, and then I became a mom. But over the 4 years, it all contributed to a bigger picture. And now I know that our parents need more empowering. We need to support them in the medical field, really. Medicine is not that scary. It's really not that scary. You just need to know what to do, when to do it. So, yes.
I mean, I think that's nice. I really like that sentiment of the end of the day, because I do think sometimes, first of all, we have this tendency to over-rely on doctors and their opinions, and sometimes we can also get blinded what is said to us and not look at other not necessarily alternatives, but you know, sometimes I feel we too blindly follow what we are told. But in the same breath as well, because there's a reason that we do that, because we don't feel we're experts and things like that when it comes to medicine and what to give our children and what to do. But I mean, that's the thing, is I'm in a very luxury position because I'm in Pretoria, and most of our listeners are in Joburg, we are surrounded by an endless amount of options when it comes to pediatricians and doctors and those type of things. But I mean, not all of us have that either. So when you're in the middle of nowhere, I do sometimes think it can also be even more important. Also, that's what I'm saying, when I'm traveling and going somewhere on the go, to have certain things can make things a little bit easier. But I'm all for empowering parents and helping them to know how to do this. So as a pharmacist and a mom, what do you believe that every parent should have in their medicine cabinet from the first day?
Okay, so obviously we will get to that in just a few minutes, but medicine cabinets grow with children. So from day one, I would say pain and fever medicine. So your babies as small as 6 months old can take something like paracetamol syrup, especially for when they get their immunizations, all that kind of stuff. Stomach medicine, definitely. Cramps, diarrhea, constipation. If our little ones is starting maybe transitioning from breast milk or having a top up of formula milk or starting solids, or their tummy is just getting used to not being in the womb, but actually in real life, they might get constipated. And that's sometimes, it's not always on the higher list. It's not really normal for babies to have diarrhea, but it's that kind of thing, like you just said. You are in a very fortunate position to have 24 hours pharmacies, 24 hour deliveries, all that kind of stuff. Me, myself, I'm 150 kilometers from the nearest town. It's a small town, so pharmacies are open on irregular hours, not extended hours, let me call it like that. So, yeah, we need to cater for ourselves at home. Then the other thing is a local anesthetic cream, like Emla, amethokane, all that kind of creams. That fixes everything to start with, because the baby, the child, all ages is irritated by the rash, the burn, the itchiness. And that gets mom a bit itchy. So, the moment you can just ease that pain or discomfort, you can start treating the rest of the symptoms. Is it burnt bumps? Is it an insect sting or bite? Is it a rash? All that kind of stuff. Then actually a burn kit. I don't think most parents think about it, but something like a burn shield can be used for burned baby bumps as well. That nice gel helps with to soothe that burning sensation.
Can you use that from when they're really small?
Yeah, just as long as the bum is not cracked. Yeah. If it's not open wounds, you can use a burn shield. Yes.
Okay. Yes, and that is really, I mean, to be honest, you get burn shield like in these little spray bottle things. I have one in my handbag.
Yes. Because, and you know what, parents doesn't think of it, but when you are carrying a baby in your hand and you're wanting to hold a bottle and pouring boiling water, stuff happens in a house. You can burn yourself very quickly without you knowing it. As parents, we try to most do everything with one hand, ne?
Yeah.
Both hands. So, yeah, anything like that can happen. Burn shield can also be used for sunburn.
Of course.
Yeah. Then electrolytes. So that is for parents and for children. For the children or the babies, I would suggest just a normal oral rehydrating solution.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, giving you confidence, preparing you, and supporting you on this wonderful journey. And today, specifically, we're talking about what you need in your first aid and medicine kit. And my expert guest today is Lizanne Archer. Of course, as always, though, I do want you to be part of the conversation. So if you have any questions, or maybe you've got some things that you've done or that you always have on in hand. Like I said, I often have burn shield. I have it in my handbag. and on me almost all the time. I feel well stocked. I mean, after speaking to Lizard now a little bit, I might have to reconsider if that is well stocked. But yes, please do let me know if you have any questions or like comments on our topic today. You can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. We also have an app, so you can go on the app, and through the app you can actually contact us directly and interact with us directly. So do let us know if you have any questions also for Lizanne. So before I interrupted you, Lizanne, she is a pharmacist as well as a mom and the founder of Medicinita. So we are talking about what are the things you have to have, and you mentioned quite a couple of things as well. And before I rudely interrupted you, you said burn shield, and then I can't remember what you said after that.
Electrolytes.
Yes.
So we want to look for something for the adults and the toddlers, which contains a lot of B vitamins, sodium, and all that kind of nice stuff. For the babies, we can just focus on plain something like a household name like Rehydrate, or you can make Hydrol. I also like a lot because it doesn't taste like anything, so you can mix it gradually during the day into the child's or the baby's formula milk or whatever they are taking. And then lastly, I would say a good probiotic. Good probiotic is connected to good gut health, and that sorts out a lot of stomach cramps, stomach issues. So yes.
That's fantastic. I mean, I also always have like cramp stuff. But one thing you mentioned when I started with asking this question, you also mentioned that as your child grows, the medicine cabinet changes. Because I also know that there's certain things I had in the beginning that I definitely don't have anymore, and vice versa, things that I had, y'all. But so how does the list change as our children grow? From like, for instance, like a toddler or baby to a toddler, and then from a toddler to school age.
Yes. So if we look at babies to toddlers, it's definitely the difference between, let's say, months to 2 years. Most of medicine that you get over the counter is not tested below 2 years or on children below 2 years. So some of them you can give, like your paracetamol, some antihistamines, all that kind of stuff from 6 months. Also, when they get to the 6 months mark, you can give a little bit more pain and fever medicine, like Brufen, mefenamic acid, and codeine. So, yeah, that just gives a wider variety for pain and fever meds, for instance. If we look at a young baby, or let's say a toddler, which starts at 2 years, 1 year about, yeah, sorry for that mistake, and we look at children becoming a bit older, we can increase the medicine cupboard and add things like a medicine syrup for nausea, loperamide for diarrhea. It's not just the front shop medicines we can give. The variety of antihistamines, let's say, also gets a bit bigger, like you can give a long-acting and a short-acting. It all contributes to how well your child takes medicine and what they actually need. But the transition is usually from drops to syrups to suppositories or maybe tablets. Yes.
My kids, for a long time, yes, they hated suppositories. They really like, and for a long time, I remember, because I obviously as toddlers, that was something that I administered, especially when it was like hectic fevers or something like that. There's nothing that works better. And for a long time, when they were much older already, then they were complaining about the taste of medicine. And they're like, well, this is your two options. Choose which one you're going to take. Medicine or a suppository. Very quickly, they dragged their medicine. It's horrible. I shouldn't share things like that on live radio. But the next thing I want to talk about as well now is like, I mean – that's now some of my mistakes. I don't know. Maybe it's tactical things, advice that I'm sharing.
You have to do what you have to do when you're a parent, you know?
Yeah, of course. I'm glad you're saying it, not me.
Yes.
What are some of the common mistakes, though, that parents make when they're stocking their first aid supplies?
It's one thing to have it on hand, but you actually know how to use it. Like, and when to use it.
Yeah,
it's almost like buying a car, but you don't have a license or don't know how to drive a car. You're a risk to not yourself, but to others as well. So I would say some of the big mistakes I've come across is when children fall, they get a big open wound. Parents doesn't have wound strips. So this could be the difference between you driving to 100 kilometers to your nearest hospital or doctor, and the doctor is like, oh, it's not that bad. You could just administer wound strips. Do you have it? Do you know how to use it? Do you know how to stop the bleeding? The same with the burns emergency care. Parents need to educate themselves. If you're not a parent and you're listening, you can also educate yourself, because you get visitors at your home, I'm sure of that, and accidents happen. So when is it too bad for you to treat or at home? Or do I always apply water? When do I actually apply burn shield and when not? Is it an open wound? Is it a blister or is it superficial? Yes. And then the other thing is, which parents make, that they think they don't need something like a medicine tracker or a piece of paper, at least, which is next to the medicine you administer to your child. I mean, it gets hectic at night, especially. You are tired. The baby is tired. The fever is high. You're taking fever at 3 to 4 times in an hour. When do you administer what? Now you decide, okay, the fever is not coming down. You drive to the nearest hospital at the ER 24 and the doctor is, okay, so mommy, what did you give when? Because this does make a big difference to what we administer next and how frequently we can administer it. So please, even if it's just a piece of paper where you write Panado 5 ml 10 a.m. and then mefenamic acid or brufen this time. And yeah. So even if your child vomits that medication, write it as well. Vomited medicine this time. I know it's a lot to parent to be a pharmacist and to be an admin lady writing down all these kind of things. But I promise you, this will make the process at a place like the ER24, or even if you WhatsApp your pharmacist, the first thing I ask, what's your baby's weight? What did you give when? And how long has this been going on? Did you take the fever? Yes. And what was it at what time? So, yeah, I do have on Medicinitas, I do have a free tracker. So just check out it on our website. But yes, That is one big mistake. We cannot help you if we don't have all the info.
Yeah. And I mean, that's also, I mean, and just like you were saying, like how to use the medicine and when to use the medicine, because I also remember, I can't even remember where I got it. It's like when your child is sick, you kind of build up a stash of certain things. And then you have, yes. So then the doctor obviously tells you when to administer this medicine, but sometimes there's a little bit left at the end, and then it's still standing there. And then when your child gets sick again, then you're like, now, which one was for the cough and which one? like that. So I think also that for me is like really like you should know if you've got medicine in your medicine cabinet, when you should use it and how. But also how for me is an important thing, but also because the way you give medicine, and I mean, it's difficult to give medicine to a baby.
Yes, really difficult.
I'm so glad I'm not at that point anymore. But also then, it's not just babies. Then toddlers have their different, what do you call it? You have different questions, or I mean, they run away and they wriggle around, and it becomes also difficult to do that. And then all the children, is like they go through this phase where it's a little bit difficult to, monitor. Like they just drink tablets, for instance. It's difficult for them to do that. So I feel each age also comes with their own challenges when it comes to those type of things as well, which you then need to obviously know how to handle. If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we are talking about your parenting things. And today specifically, we're talking about what you need in your medicine cabinet and your first aid kit. My guest today is Lizan Archer. She's a pharmacist, a mom, and founder of Medicinitas. And we're talking about this great. And I mean, it's already been a great, insightful talk. If you've missed it so far, please don't despair. Remember that all of our shows are available as a podcast afterwards. So I do have a question here. One of our guests are asking, please ask your guest, is that dressing development by the Dr. Mtunzini, that it's made for skin wounds? It starts with a C. I don't know what she's talking about. It's very, very good for burns and allergic skin condition. It's available at Dis-Chem and different sizes. Do you know that? What is she talking about? It's a special dressing.
No, I'm not completely sure. Like, I can't see I can't see what it looks like as a vision now. But maybe I think it could maybe be something like, usually it's kind of things that have a lot of silver inside, with some sort of medicine, which, remember, wet wounds heal quicker and better than dry wounds. So the basic part of that dressing is usually to keep the wound wet so it can heal better, but it has antimicrobials inside and silver, which helps with the... I'm not sure. I haven't seen it myself because I'm not in practice every day anymore.
I mean, it's called Serdak, she thinks it's the name of it. But I mean, also even Burn Shield, I feel they've got also very different. I mean, even I'm saying
yes.
But you get different products of those also that have like, almost like a plaster or something, or or gauze with it on. Really great. So you'd like this piece of gauze and, burn so quickly, things can happen. And, but thanks, guys, for interacting with us and asking about it, because I think that's one of the things you have to have. And again, kids also, hey, don't you think, Lizan, also I feel their skin. I mean, I remember one of my friends, she made tea for her daughter. And, I mean, it was with milk already in it, and it wasn't super hot. You could drink it already. And it spilled on her daughter's arm. And I honestly could not believe what a hectic burn it caused.
Yes, it is. Remember, their skin are so, so thin and sensitive, because we can feel it's hot and, ooh, that was a bit hot now when it landed on my arm, for instance. But as adults, we have lots of years of something like sun exposure, which basically helps with the sensitivity of our skin, where these little bodies, they don't get exposed to sun that much. So, their skin is basically still getting used to all the environmental factors.
Yeah. So, Lizan, now we've spoken about some of the things that we feel are important in a medicine cabinet. But what are some, and also some of the mistakes that parents make, but what are some medicines and remedies that people or parents might think they need, but very seldom actually do?
So this is actually a difficult one, because I might step on some toes and people will maybe think like, no, really? But especially for children and under 2 years, I would say, children doesn't really need cough medicine. So, what you want to do and accomplish is you want to keep that chest open. So the moment you hear the chest is tight or anything like that, that is when you consult a doctor. But what you do at home is you want to nebulize that child with a saline solution, which is like a Curaflow 3% nebulizing solution, not your normal 0.9% solution. So that loosens the phlegm. That keeps the phlegm. Because children under 2 years, especially under 2 years, a bit older as well, but it's the body's natural reflex to cough. So, yes, it's bad. It sounds bad. But you want to make it for them as easy as possible to cough out that phlegm. So, you want to keep that phlegm loose, and you can administer medicine like a mucolytic, which loosens the phlegm and which keeps that phlegm really thin so that they can cough it out. But yeah, we certainly does not want to suppress a cough in a child. That just causes phlegm to get stuck. It gets thick, and then it's a struggle to get it out. So yeah, I usually say start with a nebulizing solution that you nebulize them at least 2 to 3 times a day. And yes, that is also a mission.
I do have to say, I feel like a nebulizer is also something
that
parents need.
yes, and we get really nice travel size portable nebulizers nowadays. I even used it when I was pregnant, because I mean that is also limited when you are sick and you're pregnant. So the weird thing about children and coughing is that up to 2 to 3 weeks after a viral infection, your child still might cough. It is normal. You don't have to give cough medicine for literally 2 to 3 weeks after a child had a normal flu or something like that. Yes, if your doctor decides that is what you need, then you administer it, or you can give it to your child. But like a normal thing at home, your child really doesn't actually need a cough medicine.
Great. Thank you so much. And again, our guest was saying that it's called Serdac, CERDAC, which is a dressing that's excellent for every parent and a suitable one. So thank you so, so much for sharing that. And more on this list now.
It's a South African brand.
I assume so.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting, preparing you for when the crappy things happen. Today, we're talking about what you need in your medicine cabinet or your first aid kit to ensure that when the bad things happen, that you're ready for it in the end of the day and to be prepared for it. And honestly, I also just have to say on that note, and my guest today, Lizanne Archer, she's a pharmacist and mom as well, and she's also the founder of Medicinitas. For me also, one important thing that I also just want to reiterate again is it's one thing having these things, but you need to know how it works and when you need to use it. So also as part of this, I really do want you to go look a little bit at, and I've had this talk about, what do you call it, CPR training, first aid training. I feel that's something that every parent should at least do once, and technically you should do it on a regular basis to update those type of things. Because I can also tell you when the pawpaw hits the fan, if you have done something like this, you're going to feel so much more prepared and know a little bit more if you have it. And I've been that parent, to be honest, that has given my son had a fever. I think I do have to say Oscar had a fever the first time when he was like 18 months, and I'd never like experienced it before. And I completely freaked out like an idiot, gave him Nurofen, rushed to the hospital. And by the time I got to the hospital, which was like 20 minutes, if not even. Anyway, by the time I saw a doctor, the fever had broken already. Anyway, so it's embarrassing. So to avoid embarrassment, empower yourself, knowledge, and don't freak out. But I mean, again, it was the first time, so whatever. I did it and it was fine. Another thing that though to keep in mind, because now again, we're talking about what you need, talking about what to prepare for those things. But Lizanne, another thing is also, how do you safely store this medicine and organize the cabinet? Because I feel also sometimes, again, these things can pile up. And also then to think of like kids around. I mean, now my children are an age where I can put it anywhere and just tell them, I don't even think my kids know where my medicine cabinet is. And they're 12 and 14. But what do you call it? How can we safely store things and organize a medicine cabinet?
Okay, so remember, a child, they can get hold of things which they want really quickly, really easily. If you think, no, it's not possible, give it to a toddler. Ask them and they can do it. So if it's a mission for you to get to it's a mission for them. So especially you want almost like a cupboard which is not near a counter, so there's no space where they can climb onto a chair or something and then get onto the counter and then access the cupboard. So that's one thing. The other thing is, if possible, maybe lock it up with a lock or maybe a door that can lock and you put the key on a way other place. So also teach them from a young age that the things that is in this cupboard, we can only get from it when mom or dad are involved, or that's children that can climb and understand and all these kind of stuff, and that it can hurt you if you get too much of it. Just teach them safe medicine use, if I could call it like that. You know your child and you know what their pain points is. So just put a little bit of more effort into that as well, and that can also sort out the problem. If you're talking about organizing your medicine cabinet, try the moment you get something in, or try to get containers or labels on in the cupboard which says stomach or anything like that, or just take a permanent marker and write on it stomach cramps or nausea or vomiting or
That's such a
diarrhea.
great idea. That is such a great idea. Also, when you're like in the middle of the night, sometimes your brain doesn't work normally.
And remember, it's not always you that buys the medicine or gets it firsthand from the doctor who administers it. So it needs to be basic for you're the next person, a grandma, a granddad.
I wanted to say husband. You wanted to say husband.
Maybe the mom is working night shifts and the dad is actually doing the parenting. So
Oh, whatever.
that just more clearly on it. It's usually actually the work of the pharmacist to mark that clearly on the label, but don't throw away all that little leaflets that you get, pamphlets, patient information leaflets that you get in the cupboard, because in the boxes. Store that maybe somewhere else in the cupboard, because sometimes they put a label over the instructions on the bottle, or the box get lost or anything. Now you want to Google in the middle of the night, how much do I give? When do I give? When is the overdose? If you have that, there's a reason for that small kind of papers. We don't spend money on it for nothing.
No, I mean, that's actually really, I've already thought about that's like really good advice. And I'm actually embarrassed that I've never thought of it. But anyway, another thing on that note now, and again, I've mentioned it, is that how often should parents review and update their medicine cabinet?
I would say definitely every 6 months. So an easy way to remember that is an
I'm
easy way
making a face because I'm
to
pretty sure I do it once a year. And I think
no.
I'm the
Which is fine. I mean, if you know your medicine is really up to date, it doesn't expire, it doesn't have short expiry dates usually. So, but my rule of thumb is you want to deworm your children and your pets and your family every 6 months. So why don't you just put that on the same day calendar? The moment you deworm your children, quickly check through that medicine cupboard, and it's not as an extra thing that you need to remember. Okay, every June and December, and I need to deworm my children, but in March every year, I do my medicine cupboard. Make it one at the same time, then you won't fall behind with it.
Also, just made a note to deworm
Thank
my children. Nice. What an insightful. Lizanne, thank you so much for joining me today. This was really a great conversation. Again, if you missed it, don't despair because this podcast and all of my podcasts are available on hifm.com for you to go listen to. We've got a really, really nice like a library of podcasts, not just my show, everyone's show, that you can go listen to at your own leisure, to be honest. And you can actually search and see, okay, I need help on this. And there's probably something on there. If not, and there's something specific you want me to talk about, please email us at instudio@highfm or email me, Yolandi. It's Jolandi at goodnightbaby.co.za. I would love to hear from you in the end of the day on some topics that we can talk about. But Lizanne, before you go, please just let people know, because you are the owner of Medisanitas, so she actually makes it easy for you at each age of your child's age, wherever they are, where she custom makes a little package for you, basically, of what you need at the different ages. Where can people find you?
You can find me on www.medisanitas.com. You can also email me on lizanne@medisanitas.com. Or you can pop me a WhatsApp, 081-871-6976. I will just repeat that, 081-871-6976. We are very active on Instagram as well. Facebook, not that much, but Instagram, we are very active. So you want to ask me something, you can also send me a DM.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Lizanne. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Yolandi. It was really nice talking to you about our medicine cupboard needs.
Thank you so much. Bye. Bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Yes, and just like that, another show has come to an end, and luckily you don't have to worry about if you've missed it. Remember that all of my shows are available as a podcast on highfm.com for you to go listen to. So there's lots of nice topics that you can, from before baby is born till literally the other day, we were talking about perimenopause. So we're really covering so many different topics about motherhood, parenting baby, and everything. So it is absolutely wonderful. As always, if you do want to give insight, please do make contact with us. We would love to have topics that you would enjoy to listen to. For me, again, I want to reiterate the fact that it's wonderful to have a fantastic medicine cabinet and a first aid kit, but you need to know how to use these things. You need to know when to use these things. And if you go for a great first aid and CPR course, it can make such a difference. And there are nurses and practitioners all over the country that organize these things. So if you have not done it and you are a parent, even if you're not a parent, it is an important skill to have, because when, again, like the pauper hits the fan, I can assure you, you might not know exactly what to do, but it can be the difference between life and death. And you will be, I can assure you, you're going to feel so much calmer. I'm sometimes surprised. And the other day, again, one of my kids bumped, a serious bump. And I was so surprised my daughter fainted. That's what happened. And I was so surprised at how, I'm quite an anxious person sometimes and a little bit, stressed out. And I was very surprised in that moment how calm I felt and ready to deal with it. So, yes, and CPR training and being prepared and having this stuff available, I can tell you, is going to make you feel so much more calm. Remember that being prepared helps us to care for our families with calm and with confidence. May your week be filled ahead with health, safety, and kindness. Until next time, go out there and be kind.